Clap.
Can you give me the 1, 2, 3?
No, just clap.
Okay.
Oh, that sounded like you slapping a butt.
Oh, wouldn't you love that?
I know what my new ringtone is. It's just gonna, every time I get a text message, it's gonna be you
slapping and then going, oh, wouldn't you love that?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? I'll keep that bit in the mix too. You're right, you've got it all intro. Sorted out. You've got it all worked out.
There's the intro right there.
They're a little bit loose, a little bit unstrung, and they've probably had a few beers beforehand. Please welcome Matt Crummins and Tom Fancy Pants Puck with yet another episode of Matt and Tom's Excellent Adventure.
It's been a while, Matthew. It's been a long while. Whatever happened to those podcasts that we did that are sitting in the can? you just spat the dummy at that and said, nah, we're not putting those to air. They're too lewd, they're too X-rated. Look,
I think it's more that the podcasts we did previously, they were video ones. And yes. I think the consensus amongst our viewership was that we don't look very good on camera and maybe we'll just stick to the audio.
Oh, so you took offence at their comments?
No, I didn't take offence. I just took their advice. It's very, very different. Like
it's still the A word.
Yeah.
Offence. No, OA. Okay. I don't even know how to spell this morning.
This kind of keeps us, I think, a bit like what's the word? It's a little bit mysterious. You know, I think we gave away too much when we had our faces there. You could actually see how disinterested you were in what I was saying and vice versa. So this, at least, you know, we can't see you Googling and text messaging people on the side whilst we're actually doing this.
Well, I have a fair bit on, Matthew. As you know, I lead an extremely busy life.
Oh, and nothing short of. Yeah.
And it's a life that only others can envy. And
what time did your alarm go off? Sorry, Tom, I was just curious. This morning, I know that it was a pretty busy day today.
See, this is why we should press record as soon as we jump on the phone, because otherwise I say things off air and you bring it on air. Thanks very much, mate.
Yeah.
My alarm went off at 7 o'clock this morning. That's early for me.
By 7:30 this morning, I was on my fourth coffee. I'd completed Wordle. I did connections. I'd done the BFOP tax and BAS statements, and I'd also completed my tax and BAS as well, which is pretty exciting.
Well done to you, young man. Yeah. Excellent.
And I thought of a topic that you obviously hadn't as well. So, yeah.
You know what? I don't think about topics for these podcasts anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because we have such quality content at the start that often we end up going down a different path, and all of a sudden we're way off topic, and I think to myself, well, what was the point of coming up with the topic in the first place?
So you're saying to make sure we don't disappoint viewers by giving them a topic that we're going to talk about, but then we really don't really cover, you think we just go for it, and eventually we'll say something of value, and if we get to the end and we didn't, well, it probably wouldn't be much different to other podcasts.
No different anyway.
There you go.
No, they don't know the topic in the first place, of course, so, you know, we can just make it up. But we're reverse engineering it.
Yeah.
We're not coming up for the topic until we get to the end when we know what the topic actually is.
So your advice
based on all of our dribble.
Play it backwards and you'll save a lot of time.
I've missed your humour, Matthew. Mm. I must say, I've missed it. I do have a good laugh when we catch up.
Now, people are probably thinking that, you know, like they've been missing out on something because, you know, the podcast hasn't been out for probably 3 months now. And they're going,
If we had subscribers? Can you imagine if we had paid subscribers who were like waiting with bated breath for the next podcast?
Isn't that what happens with premium products?
There would be class action against us already. Yeah. We'd be in the Supreme Court.
I think we'd be living in the Bahamas or something. But,
based on our subscriptions. Oh, yeah, man. Jesus,
but you know, like even
three people at $1 million each. That's, you know, that we could split that between the two of us. We can live off that.
Knowing your clientele, that's probably not terribly.
that's not far off. I mean, they do. They just ring me and they say, "Oh, look, can I drop another $1 million in your bank account for the next 12 months workshops?"
Yeah.
And I go, "Look, if you must, There you Whatever. Go. Listen to you. You've got a little bee in your bonnet about this, haven't you?
No,
this
not at all.
This is the second time you've mentioned this.
I'm just
this.
Trying to appeal to your audience. Oh. That's all. We have, you know, we live in different worlds.
What are you talking about?
Us blue collar photographers down here, we need something to aspire to. But when we see it, we need to make sure that we, you know, harness all that knowledge that we can, so we can shift ourselves up those rankings, you know, and aspire to something one day.
Says he, living in semi-rural mansion, like,
oh, I'd say,
you know, luxury lifestyle.
Luxury lifestyle,
In
yeah.
the Yarra Valley, let's yeah. call it that.
That's it.
The Yarra Ranges, darlings, you know, like, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you're right. You know why it's so quiet on mine right now? Because I'm just driving my Model X Tesla. And you can't even hear the motor going. It's just, I'm just, yeah, cruising around doing, you know.
That'll come next. It won't surprise me. You will have your workshop car, which makes you look like a blue collar workshop worker. And then you will have your
electric Aston Martin or something like that, maybe.
Oh God, can you imagine?
That would be a bit ridiculous. I'd feel a bit silly driving that, I think. I don't think I'd be very comfortable, you know. Yeah, that'd be really weird. That'd be like, that'd be like walking around with a Leica, like a $50,000 premium, you know, special edition Leica. I just feel like a bit of a knob, you know?
You've just got and offended all of our Leica users. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, I don't have any of those. That's your demographic, Tom.
That's it.
Not Leica in general.
My audience.
I'm talking those, you know, the special edition ones, the ones that are like wrapped in Hermes leather and, you know, like they do the same function as the $10,000 Leica, but they're like, you know, $100,000 instead because they've got some, I don't know, stamp on them or something.
Sounds like you've been surfing the same websites as I have.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, got to aspire to something, hey?
That's it. Oh, look, I'm bored. I've got work to do and I can't be bothered doing it. So let's just surf the internet for cameras that we'd like to own.
Yeah.
What topic were we on? What were we talking about before we got into this silly conversation?
I don't think we were at all. I think we were discussing how we don't have
there
a topic
wasn't one.
And that we were going to go nowhere with this. But look,
what has happened
is people
in the past 3 months? Don't go topic early. Don't go too soon.
No,
we're
I was going
like
to say
8 minutes in, 9 minutes in.
You've got also remember here. Everyone's probably thinking like that our lives have just been carrying on. Like we've been catching up every week, chatting and things, and you know we haven't been publishing those conversations because something went wrong. But we haven't really spoken because you don't answer your phone calls anymore. So we haven't really spoken in probably, you know what, 3 months either. So I'm actually curious to know what's actually going on. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's the truth. Matt and I, Matt has such a busy life that when I try and catch up with him, he just ignores me and puts me through to his PA and says, look, arrange it with him or her. So 3 months ago, wow, let's talk 2024. Let's not go beyond that because I really can't remember. So we're in 2024. I think that's right. I'm trying to remember myself. What an interesting podcast when the host can't even remember what he's done. And he's trying to recall all the good things that have gone on in the past 3 months. And he can't even remember. What hope have we got? So New Year's Eve, I actually jumped on a plane and flew to Bangkok. And I watched the fireworks of New Year's Eve from the terminal in the Bangkok airport. Believe it or not, they had fireworks going off. Clearly, they'd sort of stopped planes for the 5 minutes or something to let all the fireworks off. And then I jumped on a plane that took me to Copenhagen. New Year's morning, I was running through the terminal at Copenhagen, desperate to get my connecting flight that, like, literally left. Oh, my God. Here's the story, right? I'm not very good at details, but I do remember this one. My travel agent had booked the flights. They all should have lined up. Yes, no problems. She'd done a great job. But I think we were slightly late getting into Copenhagen. And then, of course, I was connecting. The bag had been checked all the way through to Iceland, which was awesome. So I didn't need to collect my bag. But then when I went through security, they decided that they needed to put through my bag about 3 times. And then they did an explosive check, and that came up positive. And so
was this
I'm
because
like,
you're watching the fireworks and you got a little too close?
maybe there was a bit of gunpowder dust that had settled on my bag inside the terminal. Anyway, then I was like, "There, have you got your boarding pass? Have you got your passport, sir?" And they've taken it from me, and then they're going through everything, and I'm like, guys, I've got a flight to board, and mind you, there's no one else around. Like it's New Year's morning, 6 a.m. right?
Well, that's probably why you look dodgy. Like anyone traveling at this time, they're obviously you don't have anyone to live for, so they're probably about to do something really, really bad.
In the end, they took out everything out of my backpack, like everything. And I just was like, how much shit have I got in this backpack? This is embarrassing. So then I'm like, great, I've got like 20 minutes until my flight leaves. And there was another participant who was on the same flight. She'd come from somewhere else. Actually, she'd stayed a couple of nights in Copenhagen. She's sitting at the gate and I'm texting her going, I get caught up at security. Like, are you guys boarding yet? And she's like, no, you're fine. Take your time. No worries. Then I get to passport control and I don't have my passport. The guy back at security had my passport. So I had to run back.
Tom, you're a disaster.
Grab my passport from him.
You're a full-on disaster zone.
Race to the passport control. Luckily, there was no one in passport control. You know how normally those lines are crazy busy? There's no one there. I get through there. She's like, oh, so what are you going to ask them for, blah, 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 because they want to know, you know. Oh, I'm just on holiday, blah, blah, blah. Okay, no problems. Thanks. Enjoy your time. Bye. I'm running. It was a kilometre, I reckon, that I had to run because by this stage, they've boarded. It was a kilometre that I ran in order to catch the plane, which was very empty, by the way.
And at your age, Tom, that's impressive feat on its own. Just the running of that kilometre, you know?
Mate, I'm in my RM Williams. They're not designed for running.
No, you know? No.
I'm dressed to the nines. I'm looking $1 million.
Well, so you should when you fly business.
I'm not in my running gear.
You know, like, you don't want to be in your tracking
bags. That's it. You've got to look the part, mate. I was not flying business. And then we sat on the tarmac for probably the next 20 minutes waiting for this plane to take off. And I'm like, I ran all that way for nothing. And do you know how desperate I was for coffee? Matt, you love your coffee.
Yeah.
You couldn't live without it. I had gone, I think, all the way from Melbourne to Copenhagen 24 hours later at least without a coffee. And I'm like, great. I arrive in Copenhagen, 6 a.m. I know this terminal. I'll go to Joe's and the Juice. Everyone knows it. It's great coffee. Great. I'll be able to sit there, relax for a bit before I board the next flight. No. Airline coffee never tasted so good.
Yeah, right.
So I got to Iceland and then we ran a week-long workshop in Iceland, which was amazing. I'd never been there in the depths of winter before. We did amazing ice caves and we saw aurora and the light was just exquisite. Matt, to talk photography for 2 seconds, I'm sorry.
No, don't give away
this
the topic.
This is a bore. Please don't talk photography.
No, please give me
podcast.
The minute-by-minute play-by-play of what happened when
you
got off the aeroplane between then and the taxi.
That's it. And how did you go from the terminal to your airport hotel?
We might need to split this into a few episodes this one.
I think we might need to. Yeah. And then you know, the light. So what we're not used to here in Australia, you know when you get that gorgeous golden light that might happen first? It was this morning. We had some beautiful light. Lasts for a couple of minutes and then it's like, oh, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
Where's the nearest coffee shop? I'm off because the light's gone. Well, in Iceland at this time of year, this time of year being January, there's a twilight that lasts for an hour and a half, and I'm not exaggerating.
No.
So you've got that gorgeous soft light that goes for an hour and a half. And then I just remember distinctly, we're standing on this clifftop waiting for the sun to come up, and you wait for ages, right? And then you think to yourself, oh, there's only a small gap between the horizon and where the cloud begins. So we're not going to have a lot of time. But we're ready for it. Well, that gap is sufficient enough that the sun stays out for most of the day, if not all of the day, because it doesn't rise much above the horizon.
Mm.
It literally goes in this little arc. And I'm using my fingers here. If you could see.
I can. I can look, tell you. I can picture your fingers doing a little arc, yeah.
I'm holding my thumb and my pointy finger together about an inch or two apart to show you how far the sun comes above the horizon. It's minuscule. So what that means is that for 3 or 4 hours, you get the most gorgeous, soft, golden light that lasts all day. Now, that's presuming that the sun actually, it comes up, but there's often cloud. We had that for a couple of days, like for the first 3 or 4 days in Iceland. We just had this golden light that lasted almost all day, and it is just gorgeous. The only frustrating part of that is that it only is up for a few hours. So you'll be sitting having breakfast at 8 o'clock in the hotel. You arrange to meet everybody at 9:30 outside, but by then it's still dark. You might get to your location by 10. It's just starting to get light, twilight.
This would suit your sleep schedule so well.
This suits my lifestyle to a T. Then you know how much I hate sunrises and sunsets. And then you get this light that might last from 11:30 to about 1:30, 2 o'clock if you're lucky, and then you've got another hour and a half of twilight. The frustrating part is by 4 o'clock it's dark. So your day is done.
You're just doing astro all night, is it? Like you just all afternoon, no. I should say.
That's it. From 5 o'clock onward, it's astro. And so what frustrated me just was the short days. And it doesn't get any better because then we went to Oslo for a bit of R&R in between the two workshops. We had a week in Iceland, a couple of days in Oslo, just as a bit of R&R, and then we went on to Lofoten, being Norway, for another week's workshop with the same people. And in Norway, you're further north again, and it's even a shorter day still. And we had the first day that was exquisite with this golden light, and then after that, we had mixed conditions. It was on to Lofoten for the first time. Amazing. If you love, I know, Matt, you love photographing seascapes and the Mornington Peninsula, etc. It's like the Mornington Peninsula on steroids, covered in snow and ice.
Right.
Coastal seascapes, but covered in snow and ice. We were walking along a beach that was frozen on the sand and our footprints weren't appearing. You know, like the sand was frozen. It was weird. It was like somebody poured this transparent glue over the top.
That would be incredibly helpful though, because people screw up your photos all the time on beaches. That's by correct. Stepping and making footprints.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. Quite right. It was amazing. Just a massive sort of like mountains that appear out of nowhere because it's fiordland terrain. Just beautiful foregrounds, icy landscapes. You know how much I love the cold. I love the winter. I love photographing those.
Yeah, especially long hikes in the cold.
There wasn't many of those.
Oh.
Yes, I am. Speaking of which, Matt, you'll be entertained by this, and I haven't told you this, is that I flew back from Sydney the other day, and we flew straight over the Victorian High Country, and I could map out exactly where we walked last year on our walk in August.
Did it bring back good memories or bad memories? I feel like there might have been just a little bit of, you know, sort of PTSD, traumatic flashbacks.
Matt, there's a four-letter word that I use to describe that walk when I'm talking to people.
Is it good?
And fun is not a four-letter word. But
good, but not great.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one. That was tough. I must admit that was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yeah, spending time with me like that is tremendously difficult, especially when you're under perfect conditions. Not distracted. I just talk the whole time.
Oh my God, he gets this nervous talking going, guys. You know how people, when they get nervous, they talk a lot to try and calm themselves down. That's what Matt was doing. Yeah, just non-stop chatter. So from there,
Norway. We're in the first week of January still. All right, we've got 11 weeks to cover.
We're done with January. We're done with January, and then February. I went to, which doesn't seem like that long ago, I went to the Kimberley for a couple of weeks where we ran yet again a very successful heli safari. For those who don't know, years ago, our provider, Heli Spirit, came up with this idea of doing a safari for their clientele. We'd been with them before, we'd used them many times. And it was this sort of week-long journey through the Kimberley where all you use to get from A to B is a helicopter. And I contacted them straight away and said, I'd love to put together this as a photo safari. I've been thinking about this for some time now. And we've run three of these now where we take off from East Kimberley in Kununurra, fly out over the Kimberley coast, land wherever we want, photograph at waterfalls, remote waterfalls that you wouldn't get to otherwise, things like that. Just absolutely incredible journey. And spend a week doing that, you know, flying up for about 20 hours. So we're able to photograph from the helicopter as well. We've got permissions to open all of the windows, etc., while we're flying, and it's just amazing. And so we did that for the first time during the wet season, which was incredible because the wet season, basically everything closed down. You can't get into most national parks. There's not many tourists up there, if at all. And we felt like we had the whole place to ourselves. It was friggin' amazing. And the weather was just on point. I was literally pooing my pants beforehand, thinking, what happens if it doesn't rain? What happens if we don't get the right conditions? What happens if there aren't any waterfalls like we want them to be? Well, it was just perfect. We had a good dump of rain. the waterfalls were going off. We had a fantastic time, and literally we left Kununurra on the day where it had rained 160 millimetres of rain in the 24 hours beforehand. It just wouldn't stop raining, and yet we needed it to do a couple more flights. So that was that. And then last month, being March, I went to Lord Howe Island for the first time, which, have you been?
It is not somewhere I have been. I have had it on my list, but I've always been a bit unsure about it, to be honest.
You would love it. I was thinking of you the whole time.
I bet
no,
you
not
were.
True. Not true. But incredible place. It is just, wow, it's paradise. You loving underwater stuff would just have a ball. You've got to go there with Laura and Isla for a holiday. It would be amazing. You do all these sort of like shore dives. I went free diving for the first time, which was amazing. You know, you go 200 or 300 metres offshore and you can dive down 10 metres and see all these turtles and painted lobs, crayfish and all these different type of fish. It was incredible. The landscape's amazing. There's some great hikes to do if you're into hiking. You can just sit on the beach and do nothing. There's some great little cafes and restaurants and things to go to. And it's so super quiet. Like, it's got, Lord Howe Island's unique in a sense that it's got 400 residents, but you can't become a resident until you've lived there for 10 years. And they won't allow any extra sort of building in order to overpopulate the island. So if you want to buy a house there, you've not only got to have lived there for 10 years, but then somebody else has got to want to give up their house in order for you to own their house. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's pretty quiet. Most of the people who live there, service the tourists who come, and they're only allowed 400 tourists at a time. And again, that's capped because there's not any more than sort of 400 beds. They won't allow any extra development as such. So it keeps the numbers really low. So you can really go and feel like you've got the whole island to yourself in many ways. It's very, very quiet, very peaceful sort of place. And
peaceful,
I loved it. I didn't want to leave.
I do like peace.
I didn't want to leave. Mate, you would love it. If you ever need a place just to decompress for a week because you've been mad busy, do yourself a favor. Don't go there for any less than a week. A week is a good time. You'll see everything in a week and you'll be nicely relaxed. And the only downside, and this is probably what keeps it quiet, is it's expensive to get to. We flew Melbourne, Sydney, and then Sydney out to Lord Howe Island, which is 2 hours away, 600 Ks. It's to the east of Sydney, slightly north. It's sort of on the same latitude as Port Macquarie. It's $1,600 minimum flight airfare, $1,600, and then you'll struggle to find any sort of decent accommodation for under about $350, $400 per night. So it's expensive, but it's thoroughly worth it. Amazing.
There you go. It was that a long enough segment to get your sponsorship deal covered?
Yeah. So I just need to check my list to make sure I mentioned everybody.
Yeah,
so
I think you didn't mention Pristine Beaches. If
I did probably too many times. Did I say it too many?
No, I think that was the one thing you think you mentioned a lot of. Oh, you know what, I actually tuned out. I don't know what you said, but it did sound good.
Exactly, you weren't listening. you weren't very quiet, so I figured you weren't.
I'm actually catching up on some of that sleep. I was up a bit earlier than you, so... Yeah, this is a perfect little time.
You're always up with the cock, Matthew. Yeah. So that's my last 3 months.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's segue to you for a minute.
Finish your 3 months.
No,
Tom.
Come on. Then it becomes all, this is just a Tom Putt podcast.
It's a bit sappy, this next bit, isn't it?
It's a bit sappy. So let's leave that for the end.
Let's finish on a high. You can tell you what, why don't we just get it out of the way? What is the wedding registry company that you're using? It's a link in the comments below for people to make their gift purchase.
It is so weird, you know. We've been talking about this for quite some time, and now it's finally come. It's happening on Saturday, folks. For those who are listening to this, Matt might get this podcast out in the next 3 months.
All right, sorry, Tom,
I'm going to pause you there. Already.
I'm going to pause you there.
Probably been and gone.
You just said one of the dumbest things that I always say, and it just hit me, and this is very off topic.
Go.
To say the line, for those of you who are listening, because granted, some people might be listening, But if they're listening,
what else are they
you
doing?
Don't need to say for those of you who are listening. It's like when people have a mobile phone and they say, I'm sorry, I can't get to the phone right now. It's like the mobile phone's literally glued to your bloody hand. You can get to the phone. You choose not to get to the phone. You know?
Dear. Yes,
anyway,
yes.
Sorry.
Quite right.
Wedding registry link.
What's that called when you say something that's redundant? Stupidity. Okay.
Stupidity. So, yes, I'll go with that. Why not?
I'll own it.
Yeah.
Getting married on Saturday. So tomorrow we fly down to Hobart with the fam and then it all happens Saturday afternoon and the weather is looking on point.
Oh, 22 that's awesome.
Degrees, light winds, because we are getting married outside.
Can I just ask, so Tom, are you wearing white linens? No, like I just have this picture, like I don't know this. For everyone's reference, I have no idea what
he's
Tom
probably wearing. He's probably not joking.
I can
people.
Actually
he's
picture
trying to get
doing if it's yep. light winds, 20 degrees down in Hobart. Just in like light breezy linens on the beach, you know.
That's it. I've got this, I'm not wearing a shirt underneath and I'm wearing this jacket and it's going to be sort of nicely open there. You know, just the top button. done up.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a little bit of light oil there
just enough chest hair to make people.
That's it.
Make sure the photos are good.
I've manscaped already just to make sure it's not like freshly shaven, but there's not too much growth either. Just the way you like it. And if we have any more people listening by this point, they are amazing.
They're not anymore, no.
No.
They've gone off to Google pictures of you and do like a quick white
linen.
What they think your wedding costume looks like.
I actually thought of you last night because you and Laura did that fantastic reenactment of your wedding day a few years ago at BFOL.
Can I be honest? We didn't really reenact our wedding day. Our wedding day was a little bit better than that.
I would hope so.
We faked a wedding day. I don't know that we reenacted ours, but that's okay. Whatever goes.
But you were in your beautiful tux and Laura was in her dress.
True.
And I've drawn inspiration from your manhood, and I am actually wearing.
You're dressing as a penis. Come on, Tom. That's not appropriate
manhood.
For a wedding.
Manhood. Oh dear. I knew that word.
You did use the wrong word.
Invoke something that you would make me laugh. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a tux. Yeah. Wearing a tux. You know, this is unbelievable.
You're wearing a skivvy. I'm not sure.
Do you know where this has gone? This has gone from the girls. Because, of course, you know, I can't decide what I'm going to wear until I know what the girls are wearing.
True, yeah.
And the girls have gone from, Mary and I have talked about the girls wearing some sort of like red orca type, earthy type, you know, tones. And then it went to emerald green. And then it went to navy blue. And now it's finally ended in black. So I could finally decide, oh, right, okay, I need to match the girls.
They're going black.
Black?
There you go.
The bridesmaids are wearing black.
Oh,
Mary
okay.
is wearing white.
Oh, that's okay. I thought you meant Mary's wearing white. I'm like, I know it's not really probably the most exciting day getting married to you, but it's certainly not a funeral. Like,
he is wearing white, not black. Don't worry.
That'd be a bit much.
Well, you know, if I was wearing the white linen pantsuit, though, she would need to be in black. I mean, that would look awkward if we.
It would be a bit of a
white.
Who wore it better, wouldn't it? And I can tell you, we're married, just throwing it out there.
Correct, yeah. correct. And of course, I'm glad that she is wearing a dress for everybody. For those who have listened more intently to this podcast or who know me better, would know that Mary threatened that if I did not marry her before the age of 50, that she could not guarantee that she'd be wearing a dress. In fact, it would definitely be a double-breasted white pantsuit, she said, because she classifies that as middle-aged and over the hill. And so I've just scraped in by the skin of my teeth. She turns 50 in September. And thankfully not that there's anything wrong with a white, you know, double-breasted pantsuit, but she's wearing a dress.
That's very good.
That's it. There you go. I know. It's where do you go from there?
Yeah.
I've just killed the podcast.
You did, really, yeah. Should we just wrap it up then?
Mic drop.
That's it. And on the next episode, we'll be
following
up on this.
Yeah, we'll talk about something.
Yeah, seeing how Married at First Sight went for them.
Did you see my book was on Married at First Sight?
I did,
Did you
Tom,
see
but,
my
yeah, but
morning?
Is it a good thing? Like, not that
no,
it's show, but like, it wasn't really exactly yes. being used in the most appropriate book way. I mean, there'd be... You know, I don't want to say librarians all over the world who would be throwing up at that scene.
Tell the listeners, because I've done far too much talking already, you tell them what happened.
I'll tell them about Tom's life, because that'll certainly change the topic.
Matt, enough of me talking about me. How about you talk about
we'll
me?
Just pass it around. Here, give me the talking stick. I'm going to start, all right?
This is it.
But you did send me a picture of this scene from Mavs, and don't get me wrong, I get it, it's on TV and all that. I'm sure book sales went through the roof that night, but...
No, the
book was practically being used as a chopping board, and it reminded me of that ad where this kid, it was like when iPads first came out, and it was a spoof ad, and the kid gifts his dad an iPad for Christmas or something like that. And the dad looks at him and goes, "What am I going to do with this?" And the kid goes, "Well, it's basically a newspaper." And next thing, the dad's like smashes it against the wall to swat a fly, and the iPad just completely shatters.
Yes. Brilliant.
And then it came out like not a newspaper or something like that. So, but yeah, it was being used as a serving plate for a coffee.
Yes. Correct.
And yeah. I'm sure they've read it. I'm sure they've read it. And then they made the decision to use it as a serving tray instead. And that's what sort of... I am proud of you, Tom, I am. But I'm also just... I felt like that was something you could probably sue them for defamation or something. You know, like there was something more in that.
Inappropriate use exactly. of content. Yeah, terrible. Yeah.
So, that sponsorship certainly wasn't worth the money you paid, that's for sure.
He did that. Well, the influencer, you know, I paid him big dollars in order to feature it in some way, shape or form, but I never thought he'd use it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me enough about me. Come on, Matt. This is going to go way over time otherwise. We need to get on to your exciting last 3 months.
That's kind of it, really.
That's it, okay. Yeah, All right, well, there you go. That sounds good.
I've had a whopping 3 months. Not like yours, though. I've had a bit of fun,
come
that's
on.
For sure.
You did. You went on an adventure. Tell us more about that, because you kept it under wraps.
Well, it is under wraps still, so it is a secret Sally adventure. I had a project up in Northern Territory. In fact, I think I was up there the same time that you were. You were on the Kununurra side, and I was over in just to the east of Darwin in Shady Camp, around that sort of Mary River region, Kakadu and Litchfield.
Nice. Wow.
Which was great. I when you were talking about that beautiful golden light and stuff, I was thinking that up there at this time of year, yes, it doesn't last for 2.5 hours or something, but you actually get pretty good light all day because those storms roll through all day. So you kind of get that patchy light, and then there's that beautiful colours and the sky with the storm clouds. And we didn't have any, we had like a few really epic downpour rainy moments, but on the whole, we didn't get like electrical storms, which I kind of hoped we would. But anyway, that's okay. We don't win them all. But I'm very excited to share that project when I can. So that's taken up a fair bit of my life. But I've been running my workshops. I've been doing a lot of corporate commercial work, to be honest. It's actually...
good.
Well, and you know what? It pays for my, what was it, an electric Aston Martin? But certainly not the most exciting there. But no, we've had a little bit of a break, a bit of a holiday. I've actually made a new investment that has been not a game changer, but it's really changed my photography a bit in the last 3 months.
Oh, so we're going to talk photography. This is exciting.
Well, we could get onto a topic. I'm just quickly checking.
We're 35 minutes in. We can get onto a topic.
Okay, we've got 8 minutes to talk about a topic.
Go.
Well, so I've my little jaunt up in the Northern Territory was dealing with a new camera and new piece of
kit. Another new camera.
Yeah, and it's certainly a very different camera to what I'm used to shooting on. And so it really actually made me kind of stop. It was the first project I've done in a while where it was, we're talking like wildlife project, but the deliverable is not like, for a normal client, it's kind of like they're doing an activity, you're shooting an activity they're doing. With this sort of a project, you're actually out there looking for wildlife and trying to shoot like amazing photos. To be honest, I could only use the JPEGs because the RAW files aren't readable yet. And anyway.
Why? Because the camera's so new.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Oh,
so
that's why it's sequel squirrel.
So we've got this, I'm out there shooting and going, these deliverables are going to be, photos that are, hopefully get used in some sort of creative and interesting way. But I don't have the ability to push and pull like I normally do. And I'm looking for wildlife in probably the worst time of year to look for wildlife. The wet season it's got cracking situations when you find them, but they're not everywhere. Because like the rivers go from, being 20 metres wide to like 2 kilometres wide. So everything spreads out. Bird life could be anywhere. There's no concentration of anything. And so we had a really epic time, and I'll share more about it when I can. But it changed the way I sort of thought about things, because I went from someone who probably typically is a bit of a, you know, with my currently, you know, I shoot Sony A1. It shoots like 30 shots a second. It's fast. It does a lot of things for you. It's all very, very kind of like, honestly, it's not automated, but it's like there's a lot of functionality that's built in that kind of just, you know, as long as you get the creative composition, everything else just kind of happens. And so I typically would shoot tons of photos, you know, and then be selective about what I choose and, you know, not careless, but this really made me slow down a bit and sort of think a bit harder, going, I really have to deliver on this. Like, it's not just for my own personal collection. If I get some, I get some. If I don't, I don't. You know, I've got a brief, I've got a target. And it made me slow down and think quite a lot. And it's actually sort of moved me a little bit away from just shooting things because you can, to being more thoughtful about going, well, what do I actually want to shoot? What is my style going to be? How do I want to see things? And not quite a scattergun approach. And part of this actually was then that I actually went and bought a new phone, of all things.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because...
Why is that?
Well, here's the thing, right? I'm trying to make my photography, when I pick my camera up, I want that to be my zone. But I often, because my old phone was okay, but it was actually quite old, you know, it's probably 4 years old or something. And there's been a lot of movement in that camera in phones since then. And I thought, I often actually take my camera out to shoot things like family stuff when I probably could just get away with a good phone. But what it means is my camera becomes this bit of a jack of all trades, and you don't maybe treat it with the same respect. And so this was really interesting, because I really enjoyed being very deliberate about photography, but we just went on a family holiday. We took a little week off up in Burleigh Heads, and I just took a phone. And I got some great shots, even just around the place, not just family photos. I'm kind of separating my life out now, going, hey, phone stuff is just my memory shots.
Yeah.
And the camera only comes out when we're talking, you know, serious Sally.
yeah, excuse me. Yeah,
so, yeah, I agree. It's been interesting. That's been a big change.
You can often blur the lines.
No.
Yeah.
Even to the point now, I'm looking at printers and stuff, you know. I'm looking at these big 44-inch wide printers going, hey, actually, now I want to get, you know, how can you really focus in on those, you know, your style?
Printing for your iPhone photos?
Yeah. Selfies, mostly 44-inch wide. Quite good resolution these days. So
Interesting. I, you know what? I would love to actually have my own printer so that I could test to see how well your phone photos can print.
Yeah.
Maybe there's listeners out there who have done that themselves, who have maybe taken some photos in RAW on their phone and then worked them up and then printed them out. I mean, I'm not sure what's the capability of these days in terms of printing.
It's pretty good. You know what I found is that everything's over-sharpened, like massively over-sharpened.
Right.
And you can't undo that. So I know you can shoot RAW. I haven't shot RAW on the phone yet, but apparently the RAW shooting's better, but the JPEGs are really sharp. So I wouldn't probably print them large. But let's face it, how many photos do you print that are just those behind the scenes, like, hey, this little holiday shot, you know? Most of the time, those in-between photos are going to probably be digitally viewed. And if you do print them, they're probably going to be small within, you know, like an album or even a small photo book. So
yeah,
the quality is
a little photo book.
Yeah, and the quality is more in the memory, not in the image. And it's good enough that the quality doesn't detract from the memory, put it that way. So
yeah,
but that's been a really interesting little shift. I've sort of it's been a gear shift in
remember,
my head.
You were the one banging on to me about getting an iPhone 15 to shoot video because it was a bit of a game changer.
And it does do a really good job with that sort of stuff as well. You know, for video, I even did a client job the other day and half thought, because I was doing video and photos at the same time, and they needed the video stuff delivered really quickly because they had a social media crew on site who wanted to publish things live. And so, you know, this turnaround from getting things off my Sony onto the computer, then across to them it's not slow, but it's not the best experience. And I sort of thought, geez, actually this new phone, probably, like, it's going to phone media, it would be totally fine, except for the fact that it looks wildly unprofessional. So I'm thinking of getting like maybe a, you know, like a Nikon housing for my iPhone and
something that makes it look like a little bit more pro.
DSLR or something.
Well, it's funny because you preempted my next question, which was, if you're shooting stuff on the phone, are you using like a little handheld gimbal or something?
No, like it's got stabilization in it. I've got a gimbal for it, but it's a bit of a muck around, to be honest. Like, I don't really like it.
I've got one of those big, heavy DJI gimbals that came out about 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
That works very well, but they're heavy, aren't they?
They are, and you've got to set it up, and you need the extra handles, and they're a bit pain to carry. And even little phone ones, they're not heavy, but they're just, I find them to be a bit finicky, and unless you're really trained at how to control them, you tend to get really odd movements that don't look very natural.
Yep, I agree.
If you're doing a lot of walking stuff, they're good, but if you're kind of just doing a lot of, you know, holding and panning and whatnot, I kind of think your body's pretty good at that anyway, so... But it's been we should go halvesies in a printer. You can buy 22 inches of it, I'll buy the other 22 inches.
And we can split in two and I can have half here.
Yeah,
and you
that's
have
it.
There.
That's it. When we need a bigger printer, we'll just whack them together and after
going up
tape.
To Brilliant Prints and seeing their operation, that's what I did in February as
well. Yeah, I
saw
that.
Up there for a few days and did a promo video for the gallery.
Yeah.
And
was that for the spring sale?
That's it. But it's not spring yet, Matt, so you won't be hearing about that until springtime. Of course, silly you.
get the thought process going.
But, you know, like, they've invested millions of dollars in bloody printers and stuff up there. It's unbelievable. And that's why it's sort of comical when people come in and go, oh, so do you print all this yourself? It's like, oh, my God, if you only knew how much it would cost to buy the equipment in order to print this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sensible question, but it's just not possible. Like, there's so much that goes in, because we've got canvas, we've got, you know, framed, we've got the metallic, and then we've also got the acrylic. You'd need a very big room in order to be able to print all this stuff myself.
Oh, and look,
there's something
with those
extremely
printers as well,
gratifying about printing your own work.
So my thought process on this was exactly the same. I was looking, I've got my little gallery. It's not, you know, big, not a public gallery, but, you know, I've got the walls here. The thing I want to be able to do is to be able to, like, turn over the work on the walls so that, you know, I'm not always got the same stuff. But, of course, sending them off to get them printed on metal is far more expensive than just printing on paper.
Yes.
But the one thing I did realise very, very quickly in this sort of decision-making process, because the printers themselves, they're expensive, but they're not, like, out of control. But what do you then do with paper-based prints? You know, it's very hard to display paper-based prints on walls without doing some sort of mounting process, or framing, which is again takes the cost up.
Yeah, we have used the little magnets to put onto the wall, but you've got to put a base plate on the wall, and then you can unfortunately you can sort of like indent or mark the print by doing that. But if you put it on the edges, you can always trim those edges off.
Yeah.
Or you could just, and this is what I always had in mind, that do it like big wooden clothes pegs and hang them from those.
Yeah. I have seen that
done. Which looks, you know, a bit arty, a bit funky,
a
bit cheap. But,
I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think those styles.
Not a bad way of doing it.
Compared to something like a metal print, though. Where it's
I tell you what you can also do.
Surface, you know?
Yeah, it is amazing. Like, a finished product looks fantastic. But I did it in terms of our Lake Eyre first exhibition was just those prints magnetised to the wall. And then we trimmed the indents off, like I said, and then we had them mounted. And so our second exhibition of the same work had them just mounted, so they were ready to frame. So we were actually quoting them as a framed product. We had an example of one. We had, look, this is what it looked like if you purchase this one that's unframed. It'll look like this framed. But we hadn't gone to the expense of having them framed yet. So
that's a good idea.
This is my topic for today. How to get around, you know, spending millions of dollars in order to do your first exhibition.
Yeah.
So you could print and have them mounted. You're not going to the cost of paying for glass or moulding or framing, for example. But they're ready to mount. So at the end of the day, you've taken care of some of that expense, but it's a really nice way of obviously showing them off.
Yeah, love it, love it.
Yeah,
it's definitely something I've been thinking about. I think I've turned off that idea. I think I'm going to go, I use Brilliant Prints for my shots at the moment, and I think I'm just going to keep going down that path and just sort of, hack out the extra little bit of expense and, I guess, average it over the cost of a normal printer.
look, it's far cheaper to get somebody else like Brilliant Prints to do it than you. Like, you think to yourself, it'd be great to have my own printer, I could print my own stuff and it'll be far cheaper. But in the short term, it's not, because you'll spend so much time wasting ink and paper trying to get your prints looking amazing.
Yep.
You might fluke it and get it right the first time, but that rarely happens, and you would certainly not buy a printer new, because it'd just be a waste of money. There's people out there all the time selling off printers,
Decent
sized ones.
I think that's the keys. I think you've got to have a lot of time on your hands to experiment with it.
Yes. And that's
play,
exactly
and
it.
Also
you've got to have the time to do it as well.
And you got to have you got to find the joy in it as well. Whereas I'm a bit more of a, I want the result, not the process.
The process, you would get incredibly frustrated and you'd be annoyed at the amount of time and money you're wasting in ink and paper, I reckon.
That's it.
So it's not for everybody, but it is those who are listening.
Those who are listening would
know and who print would know themselves that it is an incredibly rewarding process.
And look, lucky last, because we've got to wrap this up. I think we've been, I think your holiday stories at the start, we're probably not going to trim that down because they're all very important. So let's trim the end of this.
I have one lucky
last little thing to throw into this podcast. I'll throw it in as the last bit. This is the shameless marketing plug that we do. One thing I did do through January, which I did forget about, no one really got to see the hard yards, but you can now see the results. I've actually done a bit of a renovation of the little studio here and also recorded a brand new beginner's Lightroom workshop.
Oh, excellent.
So there is a new online course, fully online, 5 hours long, covers off all the basics.
5 hours?
5 hours.
Man, that's not beginners. Video. That's everything from where to go.
No, this is your...
It's amazing.
This is all about the setup. How do you get... your file structures right, how do you do your renaming presets, understanding how Lightroom works, understanding sort of, I guess even just some of the philosophy behind why you edit photos. So it doesn't just, it's not like a tutorial step-by-step only, it's also got some thought that's gone into things like looking at historic image processing and understanding that this is not new. And so you can check it out. I think we'll pop the link in here as well, just because, otherwise you'll never find it. But it's a new workshop that I've just launched. It's got some great feedback so far. And would love people to check it out. Even if you've got Lightroom and you're really kind of confident with some things, if there's any part of your workflow you're not totally sure of, it's not a bad option just to kind of polish up or at least see how someone else does it.
Yes, excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt. That's awesome. Well done to you.
Shameless plug.
Well done.
Squeezed in just at the end there.
No,
for the last three people who got to the last 30 seconds. Or for the smart ones who watched it backwards.
That's being generous. That's it. They listened to it backwards. Well, thanks, Maddie. Been great to catch up with you. Thanks, everybody. For those listening.
Good luck getting married.
Thank you. Don't need luck.
Don't chicken out.
Just need to turn up on the day and say, I do, if I'm asked any questions. That's it.
Should we put the glasses over
yes,
there?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes. That's it.
Do you have any?
All right.
Do you have any dangerous items in your bag? I do.
Yes.
So Tom
I
didn't
do.
Make it to the wedding. He's stuck in security, just like in Copenhagen.
God, he won't stop saying, "Yes, I do." Oh, that's a nice way to close it off, isn't it?
Yeah, bring it all back. Full circle. Full circle.
Oh, you're so professional at this, Matt.
That's what
I do.
You've got a whole lot of notes.
All right.
All right, mate,
you
enjoy. Bye.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for joining us for yet another episode of Matt and Tom's Excellent Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Matt Crummins and Tom Fancy Pants Putt, both of whom are working photographers running workshops all over Australia and, of course, the world. Join us on one of our workshops, and in the meantime, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast to make sure you stay up to date.